there, folks, at Movie Break. I'm Lida, and still in Venice, as you know, and here goes our next interview. This time we have a documentary movie for you, which has a fascinating subject. I'm so lucky to be able to speak to the director, Elizabeth Lowe. Hi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, so how are you doing now in Venice? I think it's your first movie that you have in Venice presented.
I'm so thrilled to have my first movie here. It's my second feature-length film,
yeah.
And to present it here in Venice is an incredible honor. And it's been really exciting to share it with Italian audiences and then audiences from elsewhere.
And I would be curious how the audiences react, because what you show in your movie, which is called Mistress Dispeller, it's a documentary that feels on many levels like a drama and a thriller, because it's about a woman whose job it basically is in Chinese society, since you're native Chinese, is basically to dispel, as the title says, the mistresses or the love interests of husbands,
and that's actually and wives her, as well, her job. Actually.
Yeah, or vice versa, if a wife has an affair on her boyfriend or lover. So. How did you know that this profession existed before you made the movie?
No, I did not. So I was looking for a love story to tell set in China, because I wanted to make a film that would help audiences from around the world see that in China there's, you know, people are living their lives normally, and to see sort of a I wanted to make this film because I'm originally from Hong Kong, and so I really wanted to use filmmaking, documentary filmmaking, as a way to get to know China, mainland Chinese culture. And I also am very interested in love stories. And so I wanted to explore a portrait of a woman navigating Chinese society, and I thought a mistress would be an interesting way to look at the structure of love and family, because she's on the peripheries. And through my research, I discovered the mistress dispelling phenomenon, which is a job category that has only sprung up in the last 10 years in China, as China has opened up and reformed, and divorce rates are rising. And when we met with dozens of mistress dispellers, with my producer Maggie Lee, who's based in China, and when we met Teacher Wang, who is the protagonist in the film, who is the mistress dispeller, she, on the very first day of our scout, was able to get us access to a husband, a wife, and a mistress who were all involved in the same, you know, marriage. And that was fascinating to me, because I could feel my own allegiances shift from the wife to the husband and then to the mistress as I filmed with each of them. And I wanted audiences to go through the same kind of revelatory experience I had on just one day of filming with Teacher Wang. And so I followed her for the next 3 years in her work, filming with many different couples, until we finally found the couple that ended up being in the film and could carry the film in the way that we wanted.
And it's incredible how they open up, and this documentary, it doesn't at all feel like one of those, maybe what might come to mind, the scripted reality or those kind of reality shows where people do kind of outrageous things or are exposed, but it's very intimate and also very respectful. And I think it's difficult, not only because it's a difficult subject for any couple, I imagine, but also because, I mean, generally, society can be very conventional still about marriage, so showing that your marriage isn't working so great is shameful. Showing that you are a mistress is shameful. Also, admitting that you are a husband who cheated is also shameful. So all of those people have some shame to carry. And how did you get them to open up? Was that always the case, that they were easily ready to do it?
Yeah, so we knew. You know, when you hear about the mistress dispelling phenomenon, the first thought you have as a filmmaker is like, this would work great as a fiction film. But I knew I wanted to make a documentary. If you could get access to real people and their stories, it would be really powerful. And I worked with my producer, Emma Miller, to strategize on if we couldn't get access as deep as we wanted with these three characters that you say each hold a lot of potential shame, what would we do? Then we would do a more diffuse, spread out storytelling approach, where we're sort of surveying different love industries across China, or not getting so deep with any case and just showing multiple cases of the mistress dispeller. But thankfully, with this case, it took us 2 years of sourcing from the mistress dispeller's real incoming clientele pool. And finally, after 2 years of filming with, we filmed with six other couples and at different stages of the mistress dispelling process. So some in the middle, some at the end, some at the very beginning, but they, some of them would drop out in the middle of it. And we would always respect that because we had to try to stay, we wanted to stay ethical as filmmakers. And so finally with this couple that allowed us in from day one of the case and when Teacher Wang was brought on by the wife, at first the husband and mistress couldn't have known that what her identity is. And in order to preserve the authenticity of the process, we couldn't let them know. But in order to stay ethical, we told them, they were told that this film was about modern love in China, and that's what they were participating in. And then by the end, after we finished the film, we showed it to them again, once they knew the full truth of what Teacher Wang's role in their lives were, and then they were given the opportunity to re-consent to being in it. And if they had tried to, if they had wanted to opt out, we would have totally allowed them. That was the risk we took in making this film.
But they decided, luckily, to stay in it. It's a real powerful statement they give. And it's also a really nuanced portrait of three characters. And none of them is just good or bad. Yeah, it's not like a story where one person plays the villain and the others are the good guys, or where you might, as you say, root for different characters at different points of the movie. And also what is interesting and fascinating for me, one thing that I think gets never mentioned is how much does the mistress dispeller actually make?
Yeah, I think so. So what you said is very true. Like, that was the whole impetus of making this film. Like, we purposely cast people, cases, who every single figure was sympathetic in their own way, and that audiences could relate to why the husband was cheating or why the mistress was doing this, and why the wife was trying to save her family despite being cheated on. And that was very important to us, to protect our participants. And with my editor, Charlotte Munch Bengtson, we were very conscientious of protecting their reputations within the film because they had opened up such a sensitive wound to us and they're showing it to the world. We were very careful in the editing and how we presented them. And in terms of your second question, how much Teacher Wang makes, she charges by the hour. And every case takes around 2 to 3 months to solve, quote unquote. And on average, she told us each case is around 20,000 euros. And could be even more if it takes longer.
So these 20,000 euros, that would be much more worth in China.
Yeah. So these are like middle to upper middle class people who are using, and ultra wealthy people who are using her services.
So a personal association that I automatically have, being based in a more westernized background, is couple therapy. Because basically the purpose of couple therapy is to persuade people to stay together.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's really like stay together. It's not like figure out if you would be happier apart or together. The purpose is really, we do couple therapy so that our marriage, usually it's a marriage, works. And it's kind of, to me, it seems very much like a variation of couple therapy, actually. Also, since she talks to the wife, she talks to the husband.
She's very much a couple's therapist that's very practical. But what differentiates her is that a couple's therapist comes into a marriage and says, hey, I'm this outsider who can help you in your marriage. But what Teacher Wang tells us is that would be very hard to do in contemporary Chinese society because therapy is still stigmatized, and because of this, the belief that domestic shame should not be made public, you don't want outsiders to know your own dirty laundry, including a therapist. So if she were to come in like that, she would be rejected immediately by the husband or the wife, or the mistress. But instead, if she comes in under the guise of a long-lost friend of the wife's, or like a college friend passing through town who happens to know a little bit of psychology and could help their family out, somehow that makes it more palatable to the husband or the cheating spouse, or the mistress. So it's maybe partly cultural that you want to keep the facade, or things have to be left unsaid, or the confrontation cannot be direct in order to solve a problem. And I think that's partly cultural and also universal across cultures.
This is really fascinating, and also this aspect, especially since you say like to keep a facade. And in the end, even it seems very strong that we often hear sentences, not only in the end, but throughout the movie, like, let's not talk about this anymore, or enough of those said subjects. So it's always like keep a nice front, even if we are deeply troubled, and even if something might be not even fully worked out, it's not like, okay, let's talk about this, or let's work through this, but okay, it's in the past, now it's gone, no, now let's put it under the rug and there it stays.
Yeah, that's something, as I was doing my research, I learned a lot about how oftentimes, and I think around the world, women are the ones who are the most, who take on the most emotional labor at home. We're the ones who maintain relationships, who sort of, you know, try hard to fix relationships proactively in a way that men are often not expected to do, or they don't have the tools to do that. And so I think in this instance, this desire to repress what is wrong is a problem that maybe has to do with gender, but I also think it's just human nature. Like, in order to maintain a relationship for 40 or 50 years, a lot of stuff probably has to be left unsaid or unaddressed, and for better or for worse. And that's what I observed while I was making this film, and what I observed in life as well. I think everybody has a different approach to life and relationships, and I don't necessarily think there's a right answer. And that's the whole point. So as I was making this film, I went into it without judgment, and that's what I wanted audiences to come away with. Like, because the way we filmed and edited was so unjudgmental, which is why they were comfortable with letting us film longer and longer with them, because initially they only promised to film a few days with us, but then they allowed us to follow them for 4 months. I think that lack of judgment is really important, and also a sense of forgiveness is really important and central to the themes of this film, within the characters themselves and also audiences for themselves and for the characters.
And you already mentioned that even just only to be able to afford a mistress, the Speller one would have to be middle or upper middle class. Mm-hmm. But did you also in the, like maybe in the dealing like of marriages or the phenomenon of mistresses or lovers in Chinese society see a strong difference between the classes? Would you say that underclass people, they have higher divorce rates or lower divorce rates, maybe because they can't afford a divorce? Or that there are differences? How do you perceive that?
I'm not sure about like the exact statistics, but it does seem like, based on what I've read, that when men accumulate wealth more in society, then there tends to be an imbalance of power among genders, which leads to situations where men can have multiple mistresses, maintain multiple mistresses, and that definitely has to do with class.
And well, also probably with time, because one thing that the middle and upper class have, which the lower classes usually don't have, is time.
Exactly. And also maybe the stakes are higher if you're of those upper echelons as a wife, to not lose this marriage rather than turn away because you've been cheated on. But I think that is also maybe universal across
and
classes.
And speaking about this universalness, for me this movie worked very well in showing that Chinese society is very similar to Western, mm-hmm. just in many ways that some things might look different on the outside, but underneath they're very similar, and the structures are very similar. Were you sometimes worried that some people might also see it as, that it might also work alienating for some people, that are like, oh, mistress dispelling, this is so weird. Typically Asian people, they are strange, you know, crazy rich Asians, so, like to from a movie title, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. For sure that was something I was hyper conscientious of, and as someone who was from Hong Kong, as a documentary filmmaker, I knew that whatever film I made set in China, I did not want to contribute to a dialogue that perpetuated stereotypes that further alienate the West from China, because I think we live in this world where there's such polarization between the US and China, and it's going to increase over the next few years.
And also the villainization of China.
Yeah,
is like,
yeah, as an artist, I don't want to play a part in that. I want to play a part in bridging those gaps instead, and that's why I want to tell a love story, because love is an emotion that I think, even if its expression and its maintenance is different around the world, the core of desiring connection and the difficulty of that is really global. And in the editing, with my whole team, we knew that it was very easy that the film become just a very shallow, you know, spectacular spectacle of a mistress dispeller at work. It could have been a very shallow film that could be much more sensational. But we purposely, in our editing and the way we shot it, wanted to subvert that. Like, by allowing the film to have static cameras and intentionally very long takes, uncomfortably long takes of dialogues just happening in front and that are less manipulated than they usually are in documentaries, we wanted to respect the characters and allow audiences to see the complexity of each character, so that the character arc took center stage, not the mistress dispelling plot itself, so that the emotions and the transformations that each of them are going on, whether it's the wife who has to set aside her pride in order to save her marriage, or the husband who has to choose duty and obligation to his family and responsibility over his own happiness and the pursuit of his own desires, or if it's Feifei, the mistress, who has to learn her own self-worth over the course of this journey. Those were more interesting to us and more universally relatable to us than just, oh, it's a quirky industry that exists only in China. And that was a humanist impulse, I guess, that was driving me and also my editor, Charlotte Munch-Benson.
And at the moment, are you already working on a new project, or do you have something that interests you?
I'm developing my third film, but I don't know what it is. Exactly, yeah. It's too early to say.
Could you at least say it's a documentary or fiction or...?
Not even that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just as one final question, if you show this movie now here in Venice, what do you hope the audiences take away from it?
At the end of the day, I hope the greatest films for me are the ones that give me space and time and teach me about human behavior in ways that are both totally unfamiliar to me and deeply resonate with me. And so I hope this film, set in the middle of China, in the heartland of China, among this middle, some upper middle class family, that they can see their own lives reflected in it and reflect on their own love lives, the choices they made, at what cost they come. Because certainly when I was making this film, it prompted me to reflect a lot about how society affects our individual actions that we take, what expectations we have from each other, and how we, and when we come into collision with society, what happens. So I think those are things that everyone deals with in life and in love, so hopefully it will resonate.
Absolutely. Mistress Dispella is now running in Venice. This was Elizabeth Lowe, the director. Thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you.